Will Felicity, have a seat that we can worthy, turn around and suck face with Ollie. How about a training scene with Ollie and Thea and Papa Merlin where Ollie sees Thea's new talents and I get to be right again as Thea joins the team. Codename Speedy? When will Lance see past arrows and lace, past the arrows, leather and lace and recognize Ollie or Sarah for that matter? Speaking of Lance, will his heart literally break with the news that the new canary is not the old Sarah? All this and more on this episode of Pro-Garrow!
Yeah.
My name is Oliver Queen. After 5 years in hell, I have come home with only one goal, to save my city. Now others have joined my crusade. To them, I'm Oliver Queen. To the rest of Starling City, I'm someone else. I am something else.
Hello, and welcome to the Rogue Arrow Podcast, Season 3, Episode 12. As always, I am Daniel James.
I'm Rudy Schubach.
And I'm Laurel Mers.
Yeah, and Chris is on a plane going back down under. So he's
going
here.
Down under.
So, as always, we are the best Arrow podcast with three co-hosts in two time zones on one continent.
And one of whom is in the air, which is not actually a continent. It's international travel.
Yeah, without him, that tagline is way less interesting.
Not really interesting, yeah, exactly.
So
why do you think you keep him around?
Exactly. That and the sexism.
Yeah, he gives us a scapegoat, so we don't. He is the sexist, so we don't have to.
Right, exactly. Everyone's thinking it, but we all know Chris can say it easily without any fear.
Well, and I can say it because I'm abroad.
Right, exactly.
She ain't wrong. She ain't
indeed.
Wrong.
Indeed. So, yeah. Season 3, Episode 12 is titled Uprising. Written by Beth Schwartz and Brian Ford Sullivan. And directed by Jesse Warren. And Laurel has our synopsis this week.
I hope you have your beers ready, because there was lots of opportunities to drink.
I'm drinking coffee cocoa with peppermint schnapps.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Nice.
Leftover beer that Chris brought me. It's a Tupelo Belgium Ale by New Belgium. It's delicious. It has a 6.6% alcohol by volume.
APV.
Also eating all of the cracker chips. Cracker chips.
I should get those chips out.
All of my chips are cracker chips because I'm super white.
Man, shut your cracker chips. All right. Let's do this thing.
Yeah.
In the mountains somewhere, Ollie plans his escape while Katsu tries to convince him to stay. Compromise? Katsu, come with. Turns out Katsu disappeared herself and she doesn't plan a return. Meanwhile, in Starling, in the glades are lawless. But wait, Red Arrow and Black Canary are saving dive bars from beatdowns. Suddenly, dudes, our favorite lesbo is back. Then Lancey and Felicity chat about sharing some info to support Team Arrow, which she says, that's what we call ourselves now. I mean, that's what I call ourselves now.
that's what I call ourselves.
I think that was just me doing Felicity impression. I didn't write down her actual words, so don't quote me on her quote there.
That's pretty accurate.
It's pretty close.
Okay. Merlin and Thea practice sword play, which gets me every time.
Right.
Daddy and daughter talk Merlin style. He says you have to learn to kill or be killed, and she's like, "What? No, not really."
That's some bullshit.
So this week's flashback starred Merlin.
Woo. When
little boy, he comes home and Tommy's having a nightmare, which turns out to be that the night Merlin's wifeless life nightmare has just begun. Red Hooded Arrow and Lance get real. Lance says, look, I see you wearing a red hoodie. I see you shooting arrows at people. Think I don't recognize you with a little extra leather and lace? Anybody get the irony here?
Yeah, I know, right?
But we keep Ollie and Laurel's real stuff on the down low. Back in the Arrow Cave, Team Arrow is grasping at straws. Felicity has some luck with a stupid gun. We learn that Brick is actually the Lady Merlin murderer. Ollie makes his way through the forest with a terrible cough, and Katsu's better nature brings her back into the woods to help. There's some talk of Ra's al Ghul. Drink! Defeat him, you must fight and think like him. Only the student has hope of defeating the master. Meanwhile,
that one you're going to hear it two or three more times this episode.
Yep.
Sharpened his blade for Brick and telling Thea the story. Merlin plans to finally make it right. Which leads us to a Merlin flashback. Merlin at his wife's grave. And a friend who I don't recognize, maybe you guys can tell me who it is, drops his Mrs. Merlin's person of interest, murderer person that they think killed her. Meanwhile, in the Arrow Cave, Diggs wants to put Merlin on Brick. Felicity finds the Brick bunch at the Glade Precinct using radio frequency bursts. I thought that this was a funny quote. Irony. Add irony to the list of Brick's charges.
Yep. I was on my list too.
Yeah. Brick and the bad boys are having a shootout. When do they get that Brick always dodges the bullet, blade, or arrow?
It's one of those things where it's like, I mean, you still have to try.
Mm-hmm. So our heroes try to take the precinct back, but they have backup. Merlin is here to save the day. Merlin to Roy and Laurel. We need to talk. Merlin then holds a meeting in the Arrow Cave. Merle has some kind
of the talk.
Great they are, which is how you do anytime when you give somebody feedback. You're like, listen, you're really good at these things, but you need to work on this.
You need to work on your ability to kill people.
Yes, and he has a plan to do that. And then he challenges them. Does your scorn for me outweigh your need to see Brickwell brought to justice? You mean dead? Anyway, Roy and Thea lean on the rails and weigh their problems. Turns out they're weighing the same problems. Thea says, basically, he has good intentions. Back in the Arrow Cave, Laurel wants it to go down with Merle, and she's lawyering the Arrow team into it. Roy brings the truth. He's a bad dude, but not that bad. Finally, Diggs meets with Merlin in a dark alleyway somewhere. The answer is no. If we let the ends justify the means, we become you. I learned it from watching you. Merlin flashback. Merle meets his wife's potential killer and gets a thief. Meets his maker, but not before Mel gets a bad beat down. Ollie is out of the woods in more than one way. Katsu tells Ollie that he must be willing to sacrifice whatever he holds most precious to beat Ra's drink.
Drink.
And by the way, take your medicine. He's weighing his weapon options when Thea breaks in to chat about a father's love. Anyway, Merlin basically says, I know you want me to be like a good guy, but I'm not going to be a good guy because the guy that I was before died with a wife. Wah, wah. Who invited Debbie Downer? Then we have a Merlin flashback. Mystery guy who I still don't recognize, but is clearly a trusted companion, and Merle have a man-to-man. Merlin is going to go somewhere where his anger will be forged into something else. Tommy does his best to stop him with his, but I'm just a little kid move.
I'm so cute.
Work. Back in the Arrow Cave, Laurel has an idea. Let's get the Glades to rise up against the foes. They get the boxer on board. They get the lesbo on board. By the way, anybody else think she looks like Trouble from Grimm? Anyway, moving on. They have a van pep talk, and then we're on the moon. You get a trick exploding arrow into the police car, so everybody drink. Brick says, my two favorite trick-or-treaters. Didn't anyone tell you that trick-or-treat was months ago? People of the Glades unite, and you can... And I was wondering, where's the kid with the flag? Because they're all going to die. Even the freaking kid. I've seen this one before on Broadway. Can you hear the people sing? Singing the songs of something, something. Anyway. Rumble in the Glades commences. Brick and the boxer meet, and suddenly Brick's head is looking bloody for the first time, but Brick gets the upper hand, their fist, until Roy puts an arrow in him. Now Merlin is in the fray and fixing to take a Brick down. Get it? Take a bitch down? But I'd use Brick instead. Anyway. Laurel and the boxer boy have a moment that I don't quite understand, except that maybe it was so that our lesbo can, like, realize it's not Sarah. I don't know. And while they're having their moment, an arrow comes out of nowhere, which gives us all hope that Ollie is alive. And Roy's face was so precious when he smiled, and his eyes were so big, and they looked extra white against the black liner of the red mask he wears. Anyway, Merle and Brick talk about Mrs. Merle. She was Brick's first. But Ollie is here just in time to save Brick's life. Killing people won't balance the scales. Merlin has a look back on history. Ollie invokes the name of Thea and the theory of forgiveness to bring Merlin back from the brink of kill number 539. Lance joins the scene just in time to see Ollie take back the Glades. You did not fail this sea, he says. I promise I will not fail you by leaving you again, unless the Ra's al Ghul comes and kills me, I suppose. I said it. We have to drink. Lesbo and Lance have a meetup. Lady in Black is not Sarah. Uh-oh, Lesbo drops a truth bomb. Merlin and Thea follow up, where Merlin says, I didn't do it. And she's like, oh, for me? Ollie comes home with an excuse about being in jail, and Merlin and Ollie are having a man-to-man of their own. Thea is his chance for redemption. By him, I mean Merlin's. And then Ollie says, Roz, drink. Is going to come for me, so you're going to train me. And a final Merlin flashback, we see Merlin enter the, what do you call it, arena thing where people get trained by...
Coliseum.
Yeah, the Coliseum. And baby Nessa is already super rad, and she gives the name Alsaha, the magician. Which makes sense, because his name is Merlin and everything. Anyway, Ollie is back at home in the arrow cave. Felicity is crying. Diggs is shaking hands. And Ollie now has Roz's sword. Drink!
Oh, my God. You're killing me.
Felicity's love turns to anger when Ollie admits that he's going to work with Merle to kill the bad guys. This really chaps her eye. She says, I need some air. I'm glad you're not dead. Felicity and Ollie have a heart-to-heart. She wanted Ollie to return Dateworthy, but she don't want no scrub. So, does this mean that I get to do my I was right dance? Merlin's on the arrow team.
I don't think he's on the arrow team so much as he is training.
Was he? Will Felicity have a CW-worthy turnaround and suck face with Ollie? How about a training scene with Ollie and Thea and Papa Merlin where Ollie sees Thea's new talents and I get to be right again as Thea joins the team? Codename Speedy? When will Lance see past arrows and lace, past the arrows, leather, and lace and recognize Ollie? Or Sarah, for that matter. Speaking of Lance, will his heart literally break with the news that the new canary is not the old Sarah? All this and more on this episode of Rogue Arrow!
Yeah.
Nice.
It's Lance.
Good, maybe the cavalry's coming.
Captain Lance?
You guys have been busy.
Just trying to keep things together. Doesn't really feel like it's been working.
Have my help.
Can you? I mean, I thought the mayor was pretty specific about Blue staying out of the Glades.
That doesn't mean I can't help out the Hood Squad off the books.
We call ourselves Team Arrow. Well, actually, that's just me, but...
I just got everything we have on break from MS Lockup.
Okay, I'll send Arsenal over once the next brush fire is put out.
Arsenal? What, are you guys just pulling names out of a hat now?
Listen, you might want to wrap it up. I just got two more calls that came in.
Talk soon, Captain.
Cool. Good. Plots. Let's see. Let's start with the flashbacks. Guess those are pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, we sort of down, but like actually seeing Merlin as like kind of a doted father, and also kind of like a geeky dad too, with that whole like coin trick thing, and like being playful with little Tommy. It was sort of nice to see that he, when he says he used to be kind of a normal guy, he wasn't kidding. He wasn't a psychopath from the start.
Right. Yeah. It's a weird character transition. I hope we do see a few more flashbacks of him so that we can really get his transformation, as opposed to seeing, hey, I'm sad and stuff. I'm going to go figure out how to kill people. And then, oh, now I'm a sinister, like, death dealer.
Well, I think in some ways we have sort of seen how he was trained because of the way that he's trained Thea. You know what I mean? With all
that's true.
Harsh, hot rock things, etc.
Yeah.
So we can kind of see that, and we know well enough the League to know that they like basically brainwash humanity out of you.
Right. More so, I just want to see more John Barrowman. Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah, I don't know.
There was that.
It was
extra nice. In the mirror when he's like all bloodied and he looks at himself, and you can kind of see like that's the moment. That's like the transformation moment where he's like, I'm, this is not who I am anymore. Like he's, I'm looking at the man in the mirror.
Nice.
You know?
Yeah, it's you definitely see it there. And I don't know. He's an interesting enough character that I would be okay exploring it more than we have so far. Well, which is why I really enjoyed these flashbacks. It's
a refreshing, like, step away from Hong Kong, too.
Yeah, exactly. It is a weird... It's weird seeing John Barrowman as, like, the, you know, aloof guy who isn't very badass at all. Because that's what I'm used to, is him kicking all sorts of ass.
Yeah. But I also like sort of the potential that this episode gives his character for some redemption, because that's what I said at the beginning, that I love his character and I want to see him redeemed for good, because I'm a, you know, helpless optimist on some level, and also because I think he's fine. So, I mean, when I say, like, I think he's on the team, I kind of mean it, and I think I'm gonna do my I'm right dance pretty darn soon.
I'm back, sorry.
Yeah, and after this episode, it's reasonable and realistic for him to actually be redeemed as a character.
Yeah. I mean, that whole moment where he is basically just like, if I do this, it can fix everything that I've done that's wrong, and that in that moment it's like he's admitting that the undertaking was bad.
Yeah, everything he did
and losing
was
his son because, was his fault.
Right. Yeah. It was all because he thought that this he had taken revenge on the guy who killed his wife, and now like he realized he hasn't.
Right. Well, that thing when he was like, if I could go back, if I had done it differently, if I had stayed with Tommy, the undertaking, Tommy's death, none of that would have happened. And you could, like, the pain on his face. He's such a good actor.
Yeah.
And I was like, yay! Redeemed! And, like,
Barrow Man.
The first day of the rest of his life.
Yeah. Yeah, good flashback this week, I would say.
Grant must be some teacher.
Emergency Steiner at 10. Clear.
Steiner's taken care of. Why are these people calling 911? Don't they know the police have pulled out of the Glades?
Because they're desperate. They're scared. Multiple reports of looting at Western and Oxnard.
Got it.
Yeah. Let's talk the Oliver coming back bit before he actually gets back.
Yeah.
Not that there's really much to say.
Did she used to be called Kitana and now is called Tatsu? Because I remember both
Tatsu of those is her name. Kitana is like her code name or her superhero name in the comic world.
Okay.
So I call her Kitana because that I remember that easier than Tatsu.
It's Katsu.
No, it's a T.
It's definitely a T. But Katsu sure. works because it's Kitana Cat Tatsu. It's
like Katsu is a kind of fried chicken. It's delicious. Mm. Katsu is a fried dish and it's and a type of sauce.
Okay.
Sorry, go ahead. Arrow.
So the most interesting thing to come out of all of their conversations in my opinion is this whole like that she has disappeared herself and to where has she disappeared herself and for what reason has she disappeared herself? And under what circumstances, and where's her kid? Like, I want to know all the things about what's going on.
I agree.
Yep. I'm sure we'll find out about that.
I hope so.
Because, you know, obviously Ra's al Ghul is a guy that's going to be around for a little while, because Oliver has unfinished business with him.
Which
means we'll see Maseo, which means we'll see more Kitana as well. Also, you know, once we get back to Hong Kong in flashbacks.
True. Yeah. Also true.
That's also true.
So, yeah. Other than, like, that little tidbit of her admitting her past a little bit more, not much happened. He walked through the woods and then found a road with a
truck.
Yeah. Next we see of him is in Starling. So, good stuff there.
Well, and she gave a lot of great advice on how to defeat, you know, who.
Yeah. Is she the other person that says only the student can defeat the master?
Yes. She's the first person to say that.
Okay. We'll get back to that later when we talk more on the Thea Merlin story. Which, why not do that right now?
What a
segue. Nice. So, yeah. To kind of piggyback off of the flashback scenes, we get Thea and Merlin's discussions and developments there, where throughout this episode, Thea is the only one who stands up for Merlin, apart from Roy, after he talks to Thea and realizes that Merlin's a good guy.
Including Merlin himself.
Yeah, exactly. There's one scene where Merlin's like, I'm such a bad person. I'm like the worst.
I am a total bad dude. Like, I am a bad dude, and I can't fix that, so I'm just gonna have to be a bad dude.
And Thea's all like, but Daddy, you, like, saved me and stuff. Like, I love you.
I love you.
You're, like, the bestest daddy I ever had that didn't die and went off to sea. So, yeah, it's an interesting aspect, direction that they're going in and character shit.
Character crap.
To put it bluntly.
What that noise? I hear things.
It's probably Claire having conversations in the background.
Yes. Okay. That's what it is. Okay. So is that a genuine feeling? Like, is Thea legitimately feeling that, or do you think it's possibly a side effect of Merlin's brainwashing.
I hadn't even thought about it that way. I mean, the main quote that makes me think that it's genuine is, during the undertaking, the only person who came to make sure that I was safe was Merlin. And this what she's really trying to say is, during the undertaking, the only person who gave a shit about my well-being was this guy that you're saying is a bad dude.
Or alternatively, where the fuck were you, Roy?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that is a good point. I'm not sure. I didn't think of it as her being brainwashed at first, which I guess is kind of the why it's such a good moment. I don't even really know how deeply the brainwashing goes. Like, is she legitimately brainwashed, or was that just for the moment when she killed Sarah?
Yeah, I think that I feel like it was just that moment. Like, I don't think that she's been brainwashed this whole time. Otherwise, every time they've had conversations that ended with, why are you doing this, blah, 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 why wouldn't you just be like, shh, you're brainwashed. Come away with me now. I'm putting him up. I'm knocking him down. Bring it on. Next argument.
All right. Next song. Next song.
I said next.
So Brick killed Malcolm's wife. What does that have to do with anything?
It is just another reason for them to share bunk beds in hell. Not that I generally believe in hell, but for them, I will make an exception.
Maybe we should get Merlin to solve our Brick problem for us.
That's pretty dark.
Laura, if you don't think things are dark, you haven't been paying attention.
Even if we did sick Merlin on Brick, which I'm not advocating, he would have just as much trouble finding Brick as we've had. Brick's men have been busy. They're cutting down cell towers and disconnecting traffic cams and staying out of satellite line of sight. Like, basically, every way I know how to find somebody.
If the cell towers were down, then how was Brick's crew communicating?
At the diner. His men,
they were using walkies.
Do you think that you could, I don't know, use those signals to locate Brick? You haven't been down here that much. If they're communicating via radio, they'll be on the FRS somewhere between 462 and 467 megahertz. If I send out a frequency burst, I should be able to triangulate their location. I did not understand one word that you just said, but Oliver was certainly lucky to have you.
114 Grandview Plaza.
Felicity, that's the Glades precinct.
Well, it's not like the police are using it.
Great. We can add irony to the list of charges against Brick.
Let's gear up.
All right. I guess we'll get into the main story of The Uprising, aptly named title.
Was a fucking awesome storyline.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
It felt like a season finale. Like, it could have easily been just ramped up a little bit more to become a season finale.
Yeah.
And I love that it's not at all a season finale. Not even close, it's not even like a mid-season finale. So that part is great.
Makes me wonder what they're going to do for the season finale if the not even a season finale is as big as this was.
I'm guessing an all-out war with League of Assassins.
Probably.
At this point, that seems to be what it's heading towards. Which is good.
I'm going to be epic.
Yeah. Like, as much as I enjoyed this episode, I'm glad it's not a season finale, because then we would have had three consecutive season finales of, hey, shit's going down in the Glades. Let's save it.
Save it. Yeah.
So,
Twitter me.
It's a little repetitive, but it's doing it in a fresh way with Brick and Oliver not being around up until this point that it's working.
Yeah.
He's doing it for me. Yeah.
Was it good for you too?
Definitely yes.
All right, let's talk about how Lance recognizes Roy and not Oliver.
Oh, my God.
That's blown up the internet a little bit.
Or his daughter playing his daughter. Like, that whole thing was just too funny.
It's like they do. You wear a red hoodie all the time. Yeah.
True. Oliver does not wear, like, Oliver in bucking, you know, superhero tradition from the 1960s on, doesn't wear the primary color of his superhero during the daytime. Like Green Hornet always wore green and shit. Green Lantern would always wear green. Like even their street clothes were green or whatever.
Clark Kent in Smallville always wore primary colors.
Yeah. That's,
Superman.
I was Superman once.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't see him at all this episode.
That's true.
It's a shame.
He should have been there helping out with the
suit's not complete yet.
I suppose that's true.
So, yeah.
Did you see the pictures of it?
It looks sick.
It looks pretty good.
Yeah.
But on
my only problem with it is the mask is kind of eh.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll critique it more when we see it on air.
Or when we do it live.
Yeah. So, yeah. Let's see. Grant gets his ass kicked, which is exciting.
Just straight up kicked.
Yeah. It's like, hey, remember this guy that you saw a few episodes ago and only for like two episodes?
Totally whooped ass?
Yeah, we're going to bring him back and then have him get beat the hell up.
But he had some good hits in there beforehand.
He's the first person to actually do any damage to Brick.
Yeah.
Which was awesome to see.
Yeah, Brick had a fun day today.
Oh, my God.
First getting boxed by Wildcat, and then Merlin shows up and shoots him a couple times, and then Oliver shows up and's like, no, let's not kill him.
Well, and he got shot by...
God.
Yeah, Roy shot him at least once.
Yeah.
To stop him from, you know, obliterating Grant. Yeah, I feel like there's more to talk about. I'm just at a loss.
Well, because there's much. I mean, like, basically...
Yeah, that's the thing.
That whole thing is that, like, Felicity hates the idea of anybody working with Merlin, but he did sort of help out anyway.
But she doesn't know that yet. Like, if fucking Oliver took the 5 seconds to be like, look, he had the chance to shoot and kill Brick, and he didn't because he feels remorseful about all the shit that he's done, we can make him not be bad. But on the other hand, she's right. Not a month ago, he convinced his sister, whom is a woman that he loves, this is the quote, this is one of the quotes for the week, to shoot and kill Sarah, who is a woman that he loves, with an arrow. And I mean, look, women that Oliver loves are a quickly dwindling species.
Yeah. Mom's dead. Sarah's dead. Sarah died again. Yeah. Huntress is off doing who knows what.
Right. She's a weirdo anyway.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
The woman who was like the girl who was crazy about him was probably not dead, but all is actually crazy about him.
Yeah, but he didn't love her. She just loved him.
That's true.
Right. Panda Bear Smalls got the bullet to that brain.
He ain't wrong. He is not wrong.
Yeah.
Smalls. It has been a little while since I've heard that one.
Yeah.
It's one that he loves.
Yep.
That was a good line. I don't want to be a woman you love.
Oh, my God.
It was such a good line. I mean, it was a very, very CW line, but it actually worked.
Yeah.
Because they're sparing about them, like, that you can have those moments and not be like, oh, really, this again?
Oh, my God.
It's
really?
Like, oh, this is... Yeah, that's a good point. That's fair, Felicity. I agree with you.
It's also very comic booky. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I would argue that wasn't a CW moment. Because the CW moments are the ones where you're like, blah. You know?
Yeah.
That was the kind where you're like, well, no, she's got a point.
Yeah. The moment was very CW for me. I think they pulled it off because of how well written it was.
Yeah, for me it was like that line came up, and instead of going CW moment, I was like, oh,
oh, oh, snap!
Back down, oh, sick! burn. You, Neosporin. You need it.
Never put Neosporin on a burn.
I know. You're never supposed to do anything on a burn. But there's this, like, the thing you say after a burn is, do you need some aloe vera for that burn?
Aloe vera is okay.
I thought it was nothing that was like a liquid. So, well, Arrow.
The Rogue Arrow Podcast, a podcast about how to treat burns.
About nursing.
A first Arrow, a first aid podcast. First Arrow, the spinoff. There we go.
Oh, my God.
Like it.
Sweet. Yeah, and then the big tease of the episode of only a student can bring down the master or defeat the master or whatever the word. Only the student has hope of defeating the master. Let's go with that one.
Sounds accurate.
So, what does that mean for the future?
I think it means that only someone who's trained by someone who is of Ra's al Ghul's mindset, damn it, is going to be able to fight him in any sort of effective way. Like, you have to know your enemy or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Right?
Which is a reasonable idea. It's one that we've seen plenty of places where knowing your enemy is good, including, yeah, like The Art of War, I believe. That small book.
That little book. That Sun Tzu guy, right?
Yeah, that one.
It's written in the 80s or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Some kind of 80s. Like the 180s or something. I don't know. I don't know that accurately about that book. Anyways.
It was old. It was not the 80s. It's not the 1980s, which is why that's a funny joke.
Yes, exactly. And even funnier now that we've explained it
thoroughly. Absolutely. You should always explain your funny jokes that no one gets.
Precisely. It seemed to me that on top of it referring to Oliver defeating Ra's al Ghul.
Greg!
Thank you. It also applies to Merlin, and I feel like it means that Thea is going to be the one who brings down Merlin. That might not mean kill Merlin, but I feel like it's going to be her defeating Merlin to some extent.
That's an interesting idea.
But it's definitely going to come up since it was brought up in this episode twice by two different people.
Yeah, it's probably going to be the through line for the rest of the season.
Yeah. So, and just, I don't know, the way it was said when Merlin said it, I was like, since it was the second time, I'm like, oh, it's going to refer to him too, because, you know, he needs to be brought down a peg or 17.
Or peg is 7, or 567.
Yes, exactly. One for each person he killed. Too soon. I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Not soon enough. So, yeah, that's all I've got on plot stuff.
I think we're okay. I think we made it.
How can you even be arguing for this right now?
Because I am actually paying attention. Brick has the Glades under siege. He has the police running scared. He has us outnumbered and outgunned. And I am not saying let's give Malcolm a glass case of his own. All I am saying is let's use him the same way that he wants to use us.
To point him like a loaded gun at Brick.
Exactly. Well, A, I'm not okay with that. And B, even if I was, there has to be a better way to go about doing it than to get in bed with Malcolm Merlin.
There isn't. Oliver is gone. And there's only so much the four of us can do. I just found this out, but the night of the siege, Malcolm saved Thea's life. He didn't have an ulterior motive. He didn't have an agenda. He just wanted to protect what he cared about. He cares about this city. He just went about it in a completely unimaginable way. So just like Thea did the night of the siege, we need him.
I can't think of a world or a universe or a plane of existence where Oliver would agree to any of this.
Well, Oliver isn't here anymore, so we need to stop pretending like he is.
Quotes?
Quotes.
I have some awesome quotes. You used a few of them already, but that's all right.
Yeah.
Let me pull my Word document. The first one that Laurel brought up was great. So he can add irony to his list of crimes we can charge Brick with.
Yeah.
Which is great. And one of them, the other one that was already brought up was Felicity saying, I don't want to be a woman that you love. And then the whole room goes, oh, oh. Okay. My other two are Brick just got his ass beat. He's bleeding from the face and head. And then he turns to the guy and goes, is that all you got? And then he just kicks the crap out of him.
Yeah.
That's an amazing quote, just because it's so fucking, what's his name? Whose name I can't remember right now.
Vinnie Jones.
It's so Vinnie Jones, yeah. And then my very last one on the list was Thea when Oliver comes over and hangs out with her and Merlin. And he's like, it's all right. And then they shake hands and Thea goes, I must be hallucinating, but thank you for being cool with this. I'm going to go make some tea to keep things zen. I thought that was cute. I like that.
It was all good. Yeah, she was good. She had also had another good one earlier when fighting with or training with her daddy. And Merlin's like, you should never hesitate to kill somebody. And she's like, I didn't hesitate. I just didn't kill you. And he just kind of laughs it off like, haha, please, like he could.
And then, his point was the League of Assassins isn't going to not kill you.
They're not going to not kill you. And she's just like, I didn't want to be part of this. I just wanted to not get my ass kicked ever or not let myself get taken advantage of.
At this point, she's pretty fucking close. Like,
yeah.
The way that they've examined and explored her getting fucking badass has been very organic and very, like, gradual.
Yeah.
Like, we had that initial surge of awesome, and then from then to here, it's been a little bit better every time, and now she really does just look like a fucking pimp. So way to go on that, basically.
Yeah. She will smack you with her pimp cane.
I'm a pimp named Slickback. Yes, you gotta say the whole thing. Yes, every time.
My favorite episode, or quote of this episode, is from Felicity, as usual. And she's when they're talking about letting Brick or Merlin go after Brick and kind of aiming him and firing and letting him go. And she's just like, yeah, just another reason for them to share bunk beds in hell. Not that I generally believe in hell, but I will make an exception.
Yeah. I thought that was funny too, but I couldn't stop it long enough to like catch the whole thing. Kids screaming.
There were like 7 times that she literally said the phrase getting in bed with Malcolm Merlin, which I chuckled like a little schoolgirl.
Yeah. I would get in bed with Malcolm Merlin.
John Barrowman, man.
I would totally go straight for that guy.
Wait, what?
Any other quotes?
No, I don't think so. I thought the Halloween one, trick-or-treater one, was a little sour, actually.
Yeah. My two favorite trick-or-treaters.
Made me laugh.
It would have worked, like, 4 or 5 episodes ago when, you know, it was close to Halloween season.
Yeah.
But, yeah. In February, kind of doesn't work.
It doesn't quite resonate. But Laurel says she liked it, so.
Made me laugh.
It wasn't for, maybe it wasn't for us.
Ah, maybe not.
Not you.
Sweet. That's that. We had an explosive trick arrow. Any other trick arrows?
No.
No, I mean, we watched him do the repelly arrow at the end of the thing, which probably would have torn out all of his stitches.
Yeah. Yeah. And what was he, like, latching onto? Because he shot down, like, the middle of the road.
Oh, we had a little bit of Spider-Man syndrome going on.
Yeah. Whatever.
Fine, yeah.
Not a big deal.
No one cares. Except us.
Just makes you go, huh? And then we move on, because who cares? Yeah, okay, it's still a TV show. That's good. All right. Cool. Well, I am good on this episode.
Me too, I think. It was a good one. I really liked it.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe not my top five episodes, but definitely.
It's probably one of the top in this season.
Oh yeah, easily. Yeah, it solid action all throughout.
Oh, I did want to make one more note.
Okay.
The scene when they're assaulting the precinct, and Brick sends out a yell, and they're like shoot to kill, and then you see these little like 10 to 15 second clips of, you know, Black Canary going out and bitch slapping a dude, and then the two man team comes up, and like the second guy comes up and points the gun at her, and Roy just fucking rushes the guy and pushes him into the next building, and then when the next team comes around the corner, they're both taken care of and out of the way. It was like perfect guerrilla tactics, and it was working really well. It looked like they were working like a team. It showed them being sort of quick and brutal and efficient. And it was really cool to see, you know, one, that they had planned the action sequences that way, which is really great. And also that we're seeing Laurel begin to understand this sort of squad-based combat and this, you know, brutal efficiency. It was really, really fun. I liked that a lot.
Yeah, it was borderline too much. It was borderline cheesy, but I don't think they quite got there. But yeah, it was definitely a heck of a lot of fun. It was almost Scooby-Doo. It was almost like watching them run in one door, run out the other door, but not quite there. I think they pulled it off. Barely.
You know what they got? F+. Click.
Yeah.
Welcome to Rogue Arrow, or how many times can we quote Tenacious D in one episode?
Exactly. Rogue Arrow, a Tenacious D podcast. Sweet. Well, yeah, solid episode. Looking up for future seasons, series, episodes of the series.
Seasons, yeah, we've got another season coming.
Yeah, we're definitely in for season 4, which is exciting. And Gotham has a season 2, which is unbelievable.
All right. Gotham has a season 2, which is, you know, okay, I guess.
Like, literally unbelievable. Like, how is that show even still airing this season? But whatever. I know somebody who was on the last episode, which is exciting. One of my like old teachers. On? Yeah. For like 2 seconds. She's a singing Bible lady number 2, I think. But yeah. So, yeah, Arrow. This is a good episode. We will be back next week to discuss an episode titled Canaries.
Why is there an S on that canary?
I don't
know. Why are there more than one canary?
I don't know. We will see.
Why? Daniel.
We will see.
Dan.
That's me.
Listen to my words. Why is it plural?
I could tell you, but it might ruin the episode.
No.
but not really. If you don't want to hear the premise of next week's episode, skip ahead like 10 seconds.
We can talk about it off air. I'm okay with that.
Count Vertigo is back.
What? No!
There you go. So she's seeing things. Yeah, so we will be back for Canaries, and until then, thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, find us on Facebook, like us on Facebook, that's a good place. Rate and review us on iTunes, arrowpodcast@gmail.com, and roguearrow.blogspot.com. You can check out our other shows at almproductions.net. And, yeah. Thank you for listening. 909-007 if you want to leave us voicemail. We can put you on the show. It's exciting and fun and strange. but it would be awesome. As always, I am Daniel Janes.
I'm Rudy Schubach.
And I'm Laurel Mers. Sorry.
I think she might have died.
Sorry.
Oh, that's my little impression for the day. It's her birthday. Happy birthday, Laurel.
Happy birthday, Laurel.
Thank you for not making this difficult for her. I wasn't always like this, you know. Before Rebecca died, I was a good father.
I remember.
Killing changes you. It takes away a piece of your soul and you can never get it back again. Oliver, I know I wasn't there for Tommy, but I see Thea as my chance for redemption.
You turned my sister into a killer, and then you put her in the crosshairs of one of the most dangerous men on the planet.
And you won't believe me, but I did so with a heavy heart and expecting a different outcome.
Ross is going to come for me. And he will learn the truth about Sarah eventually.
And then he will come for Thea. And me.
That's why I have to kill him.
You couldn't before.
This time, I will have you to train me.
Only the student has hope of defeating the master.
Podcast is an Autological Media Productions podcast. Leave us feedback at roguearrow.blogspot.com or shoot us an email at arrowpodcast@gmail.com. Please like us on Facebook and rate and review us on iTunes. And if you want to check out our other shows, go to almproductions.net. As always, thank you for listening.
Yeah. It's a tea kettle, sorry.
Nice. Tea is ready. Sweet.
Tea is definitely ready. Are you making show notes so you can cut that out later?
Yeah. A little bit.
Smart. Smart.
Yeah, I don't got time to listen through all this shit. I gotta make notes so I know where to cut.
Smart. I need to learn from you and do that on my podcast.
It makes life easy. Then I can edit in like 20 minutes instead of like 2 hours. So, Arrow.
So, Arrow.
I feel like there's more to talk about. I'm just at a loss.